one door that God opens for us, but how about us opening doors to God? See, initially, when we invite Jesus into our lives, it is symbolic of opening the front door and inviting him into the house. But there are several rooms in the house, several doors. And has Jesus got access to every room in the house? We being the house of God, right? So, but remember, Jesus is a gentleman with exceptionally good manners. He will not barge his way into any room without our permission or without our invitation. Is it up there? Okay. So now let's look at the doors, what's behind each door. Dining room, door number one. Now, dining room is symbolic of where we eat with family and friends. You enjoy the food, you enjoy the company, the conversation with your loved ones. We spend hours preparing the food, maybe because we want to impress people, or maybe because we love them so much that we really want to give them good food. But the fact is, after eating our gourmet meal, we get hungry again, don't we? And it does not satisfy the hunger of our souls. Jesus said, I am the bread of life that satisfies the craving of a hungry soul. Only Jesus can bring complete and full satisfaction in every area of our lives. Yes? Now, it is at the table we get to know and recognize who he really is. Now, this takes me back to Luke 24, where these two on the road to Emmaus, they were walking after Jesus had been crucified and they were going back home. And it's only at the table, when Jesus gave thanks and broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was. And also, it's at the table, because we spend time with him, he brings a revelation of himself to us. Our eyes are open to recognize him. You know, even his disciples who got in the boat believing that he was their teacher, they got out of the boat asking, who is he? He had been with them all this time, day and night, they're spending time with him, and yet they're saying, who is he? Because they had seen him rebuking the wind and the waves, and he had calmed the sea, which they hadn't seen before. So you see, there's so many sides to him that it's not possible for us, while we are here on this earth, to get to know him fully, who he is. Yeah? We can still have a new revelation of him bit by bit as we spend time with him. We can come to know him as our Savior, Restorer, Healer, our Brother, Shepherd, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright Morning Star, and much more. Do you know, one day I was worshiping, and I was saying all these things to him. You are this, you are that, and then I ran out of words. And I said, you are so handsome. And we both started laughing at that. So, you know, he's not in a rush. And his schedule is not so busy that he cannot spend with us to get to know him. A bit each day. Now, years ago, we used to have this plaque on our dining room wall. It said, Jesus is the unseen guest at your table and a silent listener to every conversation. So let's just be careful what we say at the table. But as we spend time with him, he will reveal himself to us through the scriptures, through his presence. There's another table we come to, the Last Supper table or the communion table. Here we realize and are thankful for what he has done for us to redeem us. The price has been paid. The table is the amazing expression of his love for us. Here we can get to know him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and our sins. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The contemporary English version says, you treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. What an amazing picture here it is. What a daring picture. God is completely undaunted by any evil that we hear about these days and troubles. Yes? And that probably is the best news for our lives. God is not afraid of anything or anyone. He actually provides for us while we are under attack by the evil one. He lavishes his love, his provision, his protection, and his blessings on us while the enemy of our soul watches helplessly and enviously. Look what his God, their God is doing for them. So some of his so come to the table of his provision boldly and with confidence, knowing he will not let you go without your needs being met, whatever needs they may be, because he is generous and he's a God of abundance. So come boldly. Say, Father, this is what I need, and come to him. Door number two, or three maybe, sitting room. And if you are posh, it's lounge. It is a place where you relax with your friends and family over a cup of coffee. Maybe you kick off your shoes and put your feet up. You share deeper things such as stress at work, the boss who picks on everything you do, family situations, children's achievements, their difficult behavior, their choices that please or displease you. You talk about relationships that perhaps bother you. It is a relaxed atmosphere, which allows you to open up to each other and share your life with trusted friends. This takes me back to the story in Luke 10, when Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha. Now, Martha was stressing over the menu. Now, what should I prepare? Should I prepare lasagna or curry or order a pizza? Whereas Mary just simply sat at the feet of Jesus in the sitting room. She became so engrossed in conversation with Jesus that she forgot everything that was going on around her till her sister came and reminded her that her help was needed to prepare the lasagna in the kitchen. To Martha, entertaining her guests was her priority, and we can all fall into that trap. But Jesus does not want to be entertained by us. He wants to spend quality time with us. Because sometimes we like to entertain Jesus and not really have that deep, deep relationship. He wants us to open up to him, let him teach us. He wants to bring heavenly perspective into our earthly situations and where we can totally rely on him. I wonder if we are willing to open the sitting room door of our souls to Jesus and, like Mary, choose a better path for us, so that we can make better choices for our lives. It is here that we can leave our worries, our concerns, our fears, our disappointments, our deepest emotions, the things that niggle us. And whether we realize or not, we all have a secret compartment in our hearts and in our souls, where we have these secret thoughts or emotions that we share with no one, even our dearest and our closest people. But if, like Mary, we invite Jesus into the sitting room of our souls, he will come and rearrange the furniture. I promise you that. He will make your sitting room look cleaner and tidier and more attractive. Someone said, the death of our relationship with Jesus comes slowly by spending time with him. It cannot be done at a sprint. Then knowledge and wisdom follows as we follow him. We cannot exchange it with microwave maturity. So it's over a period of time that we get to know him. And the third room or door is the bedroom door. It is a place of rest. We spend around a third of our lives sleeping. That's about 25 years. Can you imagine we sleep for 25 years? And this is what happens to our body as we sleep. Body cells are renewed and repaired as we rest our tired bodies. Toxin cleanse takes place. This allows the body and the brain to rejuvenate. Body temperature goes down. The brain activity slows down, so a sorting process could take place to allow our brains to forget useless information. Because if we have too much information crammed in our heads, in our brains, it will take up all the space, like it happens with the computer memory. So that's what it happens. So if physical rest is so important for our mortal bodies, how does rest help our spiritual well-being? There are many references to rest in the Bible, but let me just share one or two. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come away and rest for a while." He realized the value of rest. And in Hebrews 4:3, so it says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his work." Now, rest is a big subject and we can spend hours exploring it. So I would like to keep it short and just like to remember just one word that will ensure that our minds, hearts, souls and spirits and bodies can know that perfect rest. That enables us not just to live peaceful lives, but to actually enjoy a journey on this earth. And that one word is grace. And what is grace? It is divine enablement. It's God's riches at Christ's expense, which also means no struggle. The price has been paid. The job has been done. It has been completed. So let go and let God. Can we do that? Maybe we can in the coming weeks. And also, grace also means God reaching awesome children every day. Yes, we are his awesome children. Praise God for that. And he's reaching out to us every single day, giving his grace to us, enabling us in our difficult situations, difficult lives. Wow, what an amazing picture that is of God and us. So without the grace of God, we struggle and strive when we try to do things in our own strength. With God's grace, we can sleep peacefully, even in a storm, just like Jesus did. Fourth door is the bathroom door. Here we strip off to get cleaned up, naked, exposed, no cover-up of blemishes, no inhibitions in seeing our body as they really are, no hiding of bulges under fancy and designer clothes. This takes me back to the Garden of Eden. Now, Adam and Eve were completely naked, open, transparent, exposed. It was a beautiful picture of trust and with each other and trusting and being open with God, till Satan entered the picture. And instantly everything changed. They tried to cover up their nakedness. The openness was gone. The trust was broken. And they started blaming each other. They tried to hide from God because guilt and shame had set in. Satan tries his best to keep us from getting in that intimacy with God. You know, intimacy means into me you see. So no superficial pretense with God. Hey God, I'm okay. I'm doing fine. There is an outward appearance and inward reality. Like Adam and Eve, maybe shame and guilt is eating away, even though what happened years ago may not have been our fault. But the accuser is always pointing the finger at us. God knows about it anyway. He knows which bush we are hiding behind. He wants us to be open with him, like King Jehoshaphat. When they were surrounded by these enemies, and King Jehoshaphat cried out to God, and he says, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And similarly, we can do the same. Whenever we are in difficult situations, circumstances, and we don't know what to do, we have to be honest with God and say, "Lord, I'm lost here. I'm out of my depth here. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." Excuse me. Gideon also. Remember when the angel came to Gideon and said, "God is with you, you mighty man." And Gideon said, "If God is with us, why is all this happening to us? Why are these Midianites making our lives hell?" Well, God wants us to be real with him. He's not offended by our questions. He is not offended by our humanity. He knows that we are made of dust. And, you know, he knows every single hurt and weakness or whatever we have. He knows about it. So let's just come to him. And he will not guilt trip us. He will not condemn us. He will not accuse us or forsake us. He wants to be open to him. Whatever our problem, he will show mercy, love, and forgiveness. He wants us to be victors, not victims, to soar, not sink, to overcome and not be overwhelmed. So let's open that bathroom door of our souls with assurance to Jesus that he may come in and take away that fear of exposure to him. Fifth door is the kitchen door. Food preparation place. We feed ourselves out of this room. Jesus said in John 6, 54 and 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Pretty offensive, isn't it? Eating flesh and drinking blood. But here, what started with bread and wine is shared more deeply. Jesus wasn't promoting cannibalism. He was using symbolism. Jesus, who is the Lamb, is also the bread of life. The living, breathing, walking, talking word that was in the beginning, and through that powerful word, the world came into being. So opening that kitchen door would provide for us all the spiritual food and nutrition that we need for our spiritual growth through feeding on the living word of God, which is Jesus and his word, the Bible. Door number six is garage door. And as I call it, junk room. We are supposed to store our prized possessions here, which is namely our car, and to protect it from weather conditions, from theft, vandalism, etc. But 9 out of 10 garages are full of junk, of rubbish. I tell you, if I hired someone to come and clear my garage, there'll be nothing left in it. But because, you know, maybe there's nothing of value, but I hang on to things, maybe because I've got attached to things, maybe I have emotional ties there or memories of old, but they are unnecessarily taking valuable space, which could be used for a better purpose. I'm sure if we allow Jesus into the garage of our souls, he will throw out memories of our past that hinder us from going forward. And those old hurts, that rejection that eats away at us, those negative words spoken over us years ago, disappointments, desertion, divorce, abandonment, broken dreams, they will all write their chapters in the book of our lives. And these have made their home here in this room and refuse to budge. We try to push them out of our memory, then it finds its way back. Does it happen to anyone else or does it only happen to me? And try to, you know, push and push and push, but it comes back. But I have a good news for us. Jesus is in the removal business. He's got a big lorry that can take away all that junk and remove it from our garage. He will then replace that is gone with peace, joy, and his goodness. Thank God for therapists and doctors and whatnot. But ultimately, there's no one who can heal a broken heart like God does. He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. God builds and restores us when we feel broken. Isaiah 43:18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? So God is doing a new thing in all of our lives, bringing new things, new beginnings, and new power, new authority, new anointing. So he's making all things new. So why does Jesus want to enter every room in our lives? Is it because he's a control freak? No. If he were, a control freak, he would not give us a free choice to accept him or to reject him. He could easily come and kick every door open. But as I said earlier, he will not do that because he is a thorough gentleman. And so he waits for us to invite us into every room. The big question this morning for us is, where is Jesus in our lives today? Is he still standing in the hallway? Or can he come into every room at our choice, at our invitation? He wants to enter every room because he loves us so much, he wants to share our lives. Like he said, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Do we want to see fruit in our ministry, in our church, in our meetings, in our daily lives? Do we want to reap the harvest and see souls saved that we so, every time we are together, we so yearn for? And if we want to see all the things that we have prayed for today, if we want to see souls saved on a daily basis like in the book of Acts, then let's allow Jesus into every room in our lives to sort us out and get us ready for the harvest that is on its way. You know, the harvest is on its way. The rain is coming. Heavy rain is on its way. But let's just prepare ourselves, our hearts, to receive that rain and just go out and bring people into the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is ever expanding kingdom and it will not stop. No one can stop it. No terrorists can stop it. No evil men can stop it. Enemy cannot stop it, because God is supreme God. He's a powerful God. He's majestic God. He's holy God, and he will bring his kingdom here on this earth, and it will spread. I would like to leave you with this song at the end. This has got so much anointing on it, because every time I hear it, I just can't stop crying. I cry. So I'll leave you with that, and God bless you.
How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love and the way that you come, for all that you've done and all